Vaishnavam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. January 31st, 2022, in Hillsborough, North Carolina, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 32, The Reunion, Text 1. Shri Suka Uvacha, Iti Gopya Pragayantya, Pralapantyascha Chitrada, Rurudusu Swarnam. Swaram Rajan Krishna Darshana Lalasa. Thus, as related above, Gopyaha, the gopis, Pragayantyaha, singing forth. Palapantya, speaking forth. Cha, and Chitrada, in various charming ways. Guru Duhu, they cried. Suswaram, loudly. Rajan, O Krishna, Krishna Darshana. For the sight of Krishna, lalasa, hankering. BBT translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, having thus sung and spoken their hearts out in various charming ways, the gopis began to weep loudly. They were very eager to see Lord Krishna. They sang, they talked, and they had nothing more to sing and say, and so they simply cried. We'll look at Jiva Goswami's commentary. Singing loudly because of intense prema, pragayantaha, in this way, with other words as well, iti, and sometimes intensely discussing various topics, they wept. But because of affection and separation, sometimes their words were meaningless. The word chitrada, variously or colorfully, should modify singing and discussing. They wept with long, drawn-out sounds, suswaram. Shukadeva addresses Parikshit, O King, because of their longing to see him, this weeping was appropriate. Sri Suka Uvacha Iti Gopya Pragayantya Pala Panjascha Chitrada Rurudu Su Swaram Rajam Krishna Darshana Lala Saha. O King, having thus sung and spoken their hearts out in various charming ways, the gopis began to weep loudly. They were very eager to see Lord Krishna. So I want to focus on this word, Lala Saha. Alala Saha, this great eagerness, is also a particular type of prayer. And so I realized, oh, I have a whole presentation on prayer that also talks about the Lalasa prayer. And I was asked to put this together by ISKCON Lester. And I thought, oh, actually, that would be very appropriate. Okay. So we're going to look at vandanam, different ways of offering prayers, as the gopis here are doing that. They're calling out to Krishna, they're singing to Krishna, they're talking to Krishna with lalasa. So we might say, well, they're just chanting Hare Krishna. But when Yamuna was with Srila Prabhupada and just started chanting Hare Krishna, he said to her, Vandanam, Vandanam. And then Srila Prabhupada interrupted and started singing.
Deham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha.
That was at the initiation of my god sister Rukmini in 1968 in Montreal. So this Vandanam, this prayer calling out to the Lord, is done with words, with mind, and with body. And of course we see this in the gopis, with the songs of the gopis, which is basically ending here, that they're praying verbally, with their singing, with their talking, their minds fully absorbed, and even their bodies fully absorbed. So we're going to look first at verbal and mental, and then we'll briefly look at bodily. So in verbal and mental, there's three different categories of prayers.
Sounds really low, I just heard on the internet.
If it sounds really low, can you raise the volume?
Your voice or the...
I'm assuming the music.
I think it's that.
Are you able to make it louder?
The TV volume.
Yeah.
It
seems like it's just coming from the screen.
It should be going through the internet.
The TV does?
Yes. Jagadguru has it set up so that it's going through the internet.
Look, I didn't see it there.
Who can't hear it?
Unless somebody... unless somebody messed with it. Jagadguru set it up a week ago Sunday. Unless anybody messed with it.
Maybe it's all you can do.
Set all the way high.
Okay. Well, we'll work at it before Lord Nityananda's appearance day, which is the next time I won't be using sound for Dvaitacharya. So this is Sampardhanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. Of course, all this is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and in the Nectar of Devotion. So what are some examples of this type of prayer? So one example is Yuvati Namita Yuni Yu Nancha Yuvatoyata Manobramate Tadvan Manome Ramatwam Twayi. This is the Padma Purana quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-153. Anybody know what this means? Very, very famous prayer. Just like the minds of young men and women take pleasure in thinking of each other, so let my mind take pleasure in thinking of you. Let me spontaneously think of you, just like young men and women spontaneously think of each other. Another good example of this kind of prayer is Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande Manmanasa Madhukanam Arpayanija Parapankaja Makamde. This is written by Rupa Goswami. And this is a very similar prayer. May mind that is just like a bee. May my mind like a bee become offered at your feet, which are lotuses of nectar. So to have the same idea, the first one was the idea of just like young men and women are attracted, and here just like bees are naturally attracted to flowers, let my mind be attracted to you like that. Another example that Rupa Goswami gives is Prasida Bhagavan. Oh Lord, be merciful to me. This is from Bhagavatam 11:27-45. So these prayers can be offered, not only this very feelingly offering prayers, it's not only just in Vrindavan, but any devotee anywhere can be saying, Lord, please be merciful to me. Of course, this is a prayer well known to the Christians, right? Oh Lord, be merciful to me. And then there's humbly submitting oneself. This is the next category of prayer, Dainya Bodhika, a prayer of great humility. So this is the Padma Purana quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-154. And this is part of the prayers that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has is in his Bhajana Rahasya to be said every day at the end of one's puja. Matsamo nasti papatma na aparati chakashtana parihare pilajame kimbube purusottama. O purusottama, O Supreme Person, there's no one as sinful and offensive as I am. How can I describe myself? I even feel ashamed to give up my sins. Now, this mood is not tamagun self-hatred. It's not like that. It's not like, you know, depression and you need to go see a psychiatrist. It's not like that. It's just this feeling that Krishna, you're so wonderful, you're so kind, and I am so unworthy of you. It's actually very much connected with gratitude, because gratitude is directly proportional, inversely proportional to our sense of deservedness, to our sense of entitlement. The more we feel entitled, the less gratitude we have. If we have absolutely no feeling of entitlement, then we have absolute gratitude. So it's actually a precursor to joy, which is explained very nicely in Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Narada Muni and Uddhava to Gopal Kumara. If you want to enter into Vrindavan, you have to have absolute humility, which is actually absolute joy. Another very good example is in Manushiksha text 8. At the beginning of Manushiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami says you must give up all pride. Dambhan hitva. And then he goes through the different kinds of pride one must give up, especially in text 4 through 7. And then finally in text 8, one has completely given up all pride. Yata dusta tvam me davaya tishatyas ya vikripaya yata mayam premam ritam apidadyat yujvalamasho yata shri gandharva bhajana viraye prerayatimam tata goste kakva giridharamiha tvam bhajamanam. Even though I am a cheater, the Lord's mercy can drive away my inherent wicked nature, give me the glowing nectar of divine love, and inspire my heart with the process to worship Sri Gandharvika. Therefore, O mind, with pleading words, you should worship Sri Giridhari here in Vrindavan. It's such a beautiful prayer. I have an inherent wicked nature as a conditioned soul. But yet, you are so merciful, you can give me this glowing nectar, which specifically Bhaktivinoda says means to be have the rays of the Ladini Shakti illuminate our heart and reveal our real position. And then you can engage me in the service of your internal potency. Therefore, Sri Govardhan, please, please be kind upon me. Another example from Bhagavatam 11:27-46 is, O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am at the mouth of death. So actually all of us are standing at the mouth of death. Prabhupada would sometimes say, who is old? An old person is a person who's about to die. And who knows who is old? My god brothers, god sisters are dying left and right all around me. But yet, somebody who's 20 can also die. Somebody who's 2 can also die. So please protect me. And another prayer that Bhaktivinoda lists in his Vajra Rahasya is connected with deity worship is Yoha Mamasiyat Kinchit Ihaloke Pratrita Tatsarvam Bhavato Deva Charaneshu Samarpitam. Myself and whatever little I possess in this world and in the next, all this I now offer unto your lotus feet. So this is humility, because it's the mood that I don't have anything. Whatever I have, I offer, but what do I have? I have nothing. Now the third category of prayer is that which the gopis are saying in today's verse 10:32-1. And this is this lalasa mayi. And this is desiring some perfectional stage. So anybody can say the other two categories of prayers, very feelingly offering prayers and offering prayers with humility. But this desiring some perfectional stage, Srila Prabhupada writes, when one realizes something of his constitutional relationship with the Supreme Personality, is there a problem?
The internet went off.
Should I stop? Or we just go on? Or
Just go on.
Sorry. When one realizes something of his constitutional relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he understands his original position and wants to be reinstated in this position, either as a friend, servant, parent, or conjugal lover of Krishna. That is called lalasa mayi, or very eagerly desiring to go to one's natural position. So someone asked me the other day, well, is that wrong? And I said, actually, that is the essence of what we want. We want to be ourselves. And this desire to be ourselves, one could say, is not a desire at all. If you say, I want to be who I am. This morning, I know this is a controversial thing among some Gaudiyas, but this morning I was listening to Prabhupada say, our love of God is already present. It's already inherent within ourselves, and it's simply a matter of reawakening it.
That's not controversial in the Chaitanya territory.
Yes, but there are some Gaudiyas who are fighting about it.
Lord Chaitanya said,
there you go. And Prabhupada was saying, I was hearing him this morning, he was saying that we have an eternal relationship with the Lord that is already within us. It is eternally there. So wanting to be who I am, in one sense, again, that's not a desire. If sugar wants to be sweet, is that a desire? We could say a desire is for something beyond myself, something that I don't have. But to be who I am, this is considered desirelessness. And to want this very intensely, of course, until one has something, like Prabhupada prefaces this, when one realizes something of his constitutional relationship. So in a general way, those who haven't can just say, Krishna, I'd really like to be who I am. But when one has realized something, Prabhupada says, of his constitutional relationship, one can have this lalasa. He says that this comes fully at the stage of Swarup Siddhi, when one understands one's relationship with the Lord. Chaita Darpana Marjanam, when by the process of chanting the holy name and the various services, we look in the mirror of the mind and we can see something of who I am. Now, this kind of prayer, of course, is done even by the beginners in Krishna consciousness in all of our ISKCON temples. We're asking, Seva Adhikara Diye, please give me the Adhikar for my Seva. This prayer we sing to Tulsi every day is a Lalasa prayer. It is asking to be reinstated in our original position. Rupa Goswami gives an example in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of a Lalasa prayer. He says, O lotus-eyed Lord, when will I dance on the bank of the Yamuna with tears in my eyes while singing your name? So I've had pictures here of the gopis dancing on the bank of the Yamuna and the cowherd boys dancing on the bank of the Yamuna. It's not only the gopis. I don't know if the parents ever dance on the bank of the Yamuna. The servants probably also dance on the bank. And he also gives an example of those who are attached to serving the Lord in reverence. In Dasya Bhav, O Master of the Universe, when will you, accompanied by Lakshmi, say with a deep voice to me, eager to serve you with Chamara, please come here. So this lalasa is there in the Dasya Bhav and Vaikuntha also. And there must be some manifestation of it in Shanta. Rest also, some eagerness to just be with the Lord, to just see the Lord. So what are some other examples of this lalasa prayer? Natatandas Thakura Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. By the power of those lotus feet, my activities will become favorable to devotion. I will achieve spiritual perfection, and with these two eyes, I shall be able to actually see Both day and night, the flood of exquisite beauty of Sri Rupa Manjari's divine lotus feet will shine like the brilliant full moon upon the lotus of my heart, soothing my afflicted soul. Another example, also by Narottama Das Thakur. In a forest of small kadamba trees on the bank of the Yamuna, I will seat the divine couple on a throne made of brilliant jewels. I will anoint their dark and fair forms with sandalwood paste, scented with chua, and I will fan them with a chamara wisp. Oh, when will I behold their moonlight faces? After stringing together garlands of malati flowers, I will place them around their necks, and I will offer tambula, scented with camphor, to their lotus mouths. Prabhupada says, in other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. So that's what the gopis are doing, right? Today's verse, 10:31. They've been singing and talking in this lalasa, and they simply start to cry. And Prabhupada says, in other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. So the first purpose of ISKCON, Prabhupada says, that we should be teaching the techniques of spiritual life, systematically teaching the techniques of spiritual life. So Prabhupada says this is a small technique to learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique and he should be very eager, lalasa again means eager, and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called loyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. We should want it. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, we should be captivated by this information of the spiritual world. Actually desire it. That's really all. Everything that we do in bhakti is simply, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 12:9, it's simply to increase our icha, our desire, all of our abhyas yoga, all of our sadhana bhakti is meant to increase our desire. It's not a mechanical process. It's not like, okay, 16 rounds, check. Wake up early in the morning, check. Eat only prasadam, check. Okay, where's my candy bar out of the vending machine? You know, it's not like that. The whole idea is that by chanting the Lord's holy names, by worshiping the deity, by taking prasadam, by association with the devotees, by preaching Krishna consciousness, by reading the scriptures, our desire awakens. Yes, Krishna, I want to be with you. I want to serve you. I want to be who I am. To the point that we're actually crying. Sometimes literally, but at least figuratively. And Prabhupada said, this is from Nectar Devotion, chapter 9. He says, if one develops this loyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter the kingdom of God. And it's interesting, Prabhupada says, in a particular way. We're each individuals. Radical personalism. We're not just individuals temporarily in this world, in this incarnation. We're eternally individuals. Prabhupada says, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this loyam lalasa mayi, or desire and great eagerness. We can say, well, what am I going to do? What kind of prayers am I going to offer? And so, also it's said by Rupa Goswami that we can recite notable prayers. We may not be able to offer our own feeling prayers properly, but at least we can offer notable prayers. And Rupa Goswami quotes the Skanda Purana as saying, devotees whose tongues are decorated always with prayers to Lord Krishna are always given respect, even by the great saintly persons and sages, and such devotees are worshipable by the demigods. In the Singha Purana, it said, any person who comes before the deity of Lord Krishna and begins to chant different prayers is immediately relieved from all the reactions of sinful activities and becomes eligible without any doubt to enter into Vaikuntha Loka. We'd like to recite some notable prayers. So I want to look at just a few kinds of notable prayers we can recite, even if we're just, you know, 1 week into Krishna consciousness. So Arjuna recites wonderful prayers from chapter 11. We were just reading through those yesterday in our Bhakti Shastri class. This is 11:19. You are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. We have wonderful prayers by Lord Shiva in the fourth canto. One of my good friends, Srimati in Vrindavan, says one of the benedictions of reciting these prayers is it's equivalent to performing all kinds of difficult austerities. So if you can't do difficult austerities, you can recite these prayers. And that they're so beautiful. These were, of course, prayers that were taught to the Prachetas. And this one from 424.50, the Lord's abdomen is beautiful due to three ripples in the flesh. Being so round, his abdomen resembles a leaf of a banyan tree. And when he exhales and inhales, the movement of the ripples appears very, very beautiful. The coils within the navel of the Lord are so deep that it appears that the entire universe sprouted out of it and yet again wishes to go back. What a nice meditation while you're putting clothes on Golokananda's abdomen. And then Gajendra has wonderful prayers in the eighth canto. This is from 8.3.14. My Lord, you all are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problem of doubts. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence. Some other notable prayers are that of Queen Kunti, which Srila Prabhupada particularly liked. This is 1842. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Then, of course, we also have wonderful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj from the Sringadev, both in the fifth canto and in the seventh canto. This is 7:9:28. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? There are beautiful prayers by the demigods to Krishna in the womb. This one from 10:2:30. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of Vahajanas. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the
footprint
of a calf. And there are also beautiful prayers in the Ishopanishad. Oh my Lord, as powerful as fire, O omnipotent one, now I offer you all obeisances falling at the ground at your feet. Oh my Lord, please lead me on the right path to reach you, and since you know all that I've done in the past, Please free me from the reactions to my past sins so that there will be no hindrance to my progress. Actually, throughout the fifth canto, there's a section in the fifth canto where the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers to various incarnations. There are also some beautiful prayers there. And of course, we also have the prayers of our acharyas. Prabhupada wrote in a letter in 1968, you've asked about singing the prayers of Narottam Thakur. And yes, they are much approved in any language. So, Narottama Das Thakur, Rupa Sanatan, Bhakti Vinod. Now this prayer and eagerness, Vandanam, can also be expressed physically. Prayer means in the mind, with the words, but also in the body. And Rupa Goswami quotes the Naradiya Purana. A person who has performed a great ritualistic sacrifice, and a person who has simply offered his respectful obeisances by bowing down before the Lord, cannot be held as equaled. If you perform many great sacrifices, you can go to the heavenly planets, then back to earth. But if you've even once offered respects to the deity, you'll go directly to the abode of Krishna. In Madhya 167, Purport Prabhupada says, Danda means rod or pole. A rod falls down straight. When one offers obeisances to one's superior with all eight angas of the body, he is doing a dandavat. So what is this dandavat? What is this eight parts? Dorbhyam pabhyam chaji nam arasa sirasa drasa manasavacha chanteti panamastanga iritaha. They are the arms, the feet, the knees, the chest, the forehead, the mind, vision, and speech. That's from the Hari Bhakti Vilas 8.3.60. And this is described as a part of deity worship by Kasyapa Muni in 8.16.42 and 6.19.10. With great delight and satisfaction, offer obeisances to the Lord like a dandavat. One should offer obeisances with a mind humbled with devotion, offering dandavats by falling down on the ground like a rod. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it says, a devotee who falls down to the ground to offer dandavat obeisances drops all his sins at that spot. They will never rise from there again. And this is really cool. Hari Bhakti Vilas 8.370, a hypocrite who makes a show of bowing down before Lord Krishna, who holds the Sangha bow, becomes purified of hundreds of sins. His sins are destroyed in a moment. Isn't that encouraging? Even if you're a hypocrite, you offer obeisances to the Lord, your sins are destroyed. Okay, then there's also another kind of obeisances, the five parts, knees, arms, head, intellect, and words. That's from Hari Bhakti Vilas 8.361. And then there's just the Anjali Mudra, or the Pranam Mudra, where you fold your hands and slightly bow your head. Now, in offering physical prayers, Rupa Goswami gives some obeisances to avoid. To offer obeisances on one hand, to offer obeisances with your body covered, to show your back to the deity, to offer obeisances on the left side, or too close to the deity. And this is from Bhagavatam 7.5, 23-24 purport. So we've looked at offering prayers with the desire in the mind, verbal prayers, different categories of prayers, very feelingly offering prayers of humility, and offering prayers of this lalasa, like the gopis are offering, crying for perfection, and offering prayers with the body. So I hope that you've relished this presentation and become inspired in offering prayers. Yes?
There's one more of those great offerings of basis. It's just acknowledging someone's presence, not ignoring someone when they come into a room. That's the number one. That's the first one.
Acknowledging someone's...
Say hello. Haribol. You ignore somebody, that's an offense. It's a minor offense compared to the other ones.
Interesting.
It's the least of the...
Well, it's interesting, like when Bhaktivinoda talks about not offending devotees. He said that we should always feel joy when we see another devotee. That's not always easy, is it? Certain people are like, I don't even want to see that person. But to always feel joy, here's somebody who's worshiping Krishna. To acknowledge someone who walks in the room. Actually, Peter Burwash talks about, I don't know if he still does this, but every year he would anonymously call various temples and see how they answered the phone. And then he would make a report about how different temples received you in the phone. And he would also visit temples anonymously. He's a very famous person. And see how he was greeted. Right? And some temples you're greeted, some temples you're not. Actually, one of my one person I know who's a secret Hare Krishna, he's a very famous Catholic monk. He's authored many books, and he often speaks to audiences of hundreds of thousands of people on Catholicism, but he also chants 16 rounds and offers his food, follows regular principles, and reads Prabhupada's books. And he said when he was first investigating Krishna consciousness, he visited several temples, and nobody said hello. And he said he was about to give up, like on the fifth temple. He said he was visiting in Alachua. He'd gone to Mangalarti. And again, nobody had said anything to him. Nobody had said, hello, are you here for the first time? And so he was walking out the door thinking, I guess this Krishna consciousness is not for me. And my god sister Nanda, he said, crossed the gender line in the temple and went over to him and said, hi, are you here for the first time? But yeah, to what extent we show respect to other people. Throughout the Shastra, if one doesn't show respect to other people, one cannot, but other all living entities would speak of other humans. I was thinking about that when I took a spider out of the bathroom this morning. So if we don't show respect to all other living entities, there's no way we can approach God. Lord Kapiladeva says that's like making an offering into ashes instead of a fire. Thank you very much. Hopefully we will get the mercy of the gopis who are truly in this Lala Samani. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.